Thank you for coming to this prayer service tonight during this Fortnight for Freedom, a two-week period of intense prayer, fasting, study, and public witness in defense of religious freedom that began last Saturday and will continue through the 4th of July, in which all of us give thanks to God for our freedom and celebrate this gift. This year, the U.S. bishops have asked us all to focus on the freedom to serve. Christ calls us, following His example, to serve others rather than to be served, to be good Samaritans who cross the road to care for others rather than stay on our own side of the street, to love our neighbor as God has loved us first. Over the course of centuries, that's what Catholics have done. We've done that individually for others, and we've come together to do that institutionally for others. At a time when the rich had private doctors, and they were the only ones who would be cared for when they were ill, we founded the first hospitals to care for both rich and poor, nursing people back to health and preparing them to meet the Lord, risking our lives when they had the bubonic plague, when they had various other contagious diseases in order to be able to care for them. At a time when only the wealthy or noble families had access to an education through tutors, we formed the first schools and open universities. We formed diaconia, food pantries run by deacons in the early church to care for the poor. We formed leprosaria to care for those with Hansen's disease. We established orphanages for abandoned babies and homes for unwed mothers. We formed programs for immigrants to learn languages, for young girls to learn how to sew, for street children to learn trades. The history of the Catholic Church is a history of doing so much good in serving others and improving the common good. But that ability is now being restricted in the land of the free and threatened by aggressively secular policies in federal and various state and local governments. There's no need to give a comprehensive list here, but we can give a little bit of a taste. Catholic social service agencies have been needing to get out of the adoption business because of requirements to give kids to those in same-sex relationships, which the church doesn't believe is toward their integral good. Now, people can disagree about that. You can have a vigorous debate. But once you start saying to those in adoption businesses that you can no longer make distinctions with regard to what home you think is going to be good for a kid or what home you think is not going to be good for the kid, you can't do your job anymore. And so in various dioceses across the country, they've needed to get out of this. Why? Because in order to facilitate adoptions, you need state licensing. And the state licensing boards can put that as a requirement. And if you don't meet that requirement, you simply can't do it. Even if two Catholic parishioners want to arrange for another Catholic to adopt a baby, they can no longer go in various places to Catholic social service agencies because they can't get the license to fulfill that. Another is we've needed to give up contracts for sex trafficking victims and other humanitarian assistance programs through Catholic relief services in places like Haiti after the terrible earthquakes, Indonesia after the terrible tsunami. Why? Because in order to get those contracts, we need to agree to refer people to abortion. We refuse to do it. Catholic hospitals, schools, universities, and other institutions are being compelled to offer health care plans by the Department of Health and Human Services as an implementation of the Affordable Care Act to offer health care plans that pay for free chemical abortions, contraception, and sterilizations, or pay crippling fines of $1,000 per day per employee, or have to cut health care altogether, risking losing employees who obviously need health care for themselves and for their families, but also not caring for their needs, not caring for those who are often working for a much smaller salary in order to be able to serve the church. And just now, the latest is the papal press spokesman, Josh Earnest, said to reporters on Air Force One on June 16th that President Obama was preparing an executive order following on his pledge for this to be a year of action to expand opportunities for all Americans, an executive order that prohibits federal contractors from discriminating on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity. What does that mean? That if any agency gets one penny from the federal government, they can't make distinctions based on sexual orientation, read as well, sexual behavior, or gender identity. Before I get into what the U.S. bishops have said in response to this, we need to recognize that Catholic agencies take money all the time from the federal government. Our Catholic Social Service Agency in the Diocese of Fall River gets about 90% of its budget from the federal government. The programs, for example, we run for homeless folks, the money to renovate those old convents or old school buildings in order to make them apartments for those who are living out on the street, that doesn't come from Catholic Charities. We wouldn't be able to afford it through Catholic Charities. It comes through grants. And the federal government has long recognized that the Catholic Church does that type of stuff better than other agencies do. And so there's been a very healthy collaboration. When we're doing programs for immigrants, that doesn't all come out of Catholic Social Services. That doesn't all come out of the Catholic Charities appeal that goes to Catholic Social Services, because the budget for all of those employees wouldn't come from $2 million a year, which is where half of our Catholic Charities appeal goes. We get federal dollars to be able to assimilate these people so that they're not out robbing in order to make a living, but that they can get an education in order to be able to support their families in an honest way. When we're caring for those who are disabled, small part of that comes from the Catholic Charities appeal, but the vast majority comes from federal programs to care for those who need a little bit of extra help. And the reason why Catholic Social Services and other Catholic agencies always win those bids is because we do it better than other people. Because we care for the whole person rather than just the disability. But again, that's now being endangered. Four American archbishops, the four chairmen of four relevant committees for the U.S. Conference for Catholic Bishops, last Friday had to issue a statement. They said the enduring commitment of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops to uphold the dignity of each and every human person impels us to oppose unjust discrimination, to proclaim the truth about marriage, and to protect religious freedom. Therefore, we view with great concern the reported intention of the President of the United States. This isn't a rumor. It was stated by his press spokesman, so it's on very good information of what the President intends to do. We view with great concern the reported intention of the President of the United States to issue an executive order forbidding what the administration considers discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity. They go on to say, because we don't know how the executive order will define these critically important terms, or if it will provide sufficient or any religious freedom protection, we can't provide substantive comment on the order. On the other hand, when the U.S. Senate recently passed legislation on the same topic, we raised detailed objections to that legislation, and we refer interested parties to those resources to identify the applicable principles. We say now again, as we said in connection with the Senate bill and have said many times before, that we oppose any unjust discrimination against any persons on any ground. But there's a difference between unjust and just discrimination. What this executive order would mean is, if we're still going to get a penny in our Catholic Social Service agencies, for example, that if you want to have a flamboyant, out-of-the-closet gay activist who applies for the position of receptionist over there on 1600 Bay Street, that we can't say that that's a relevant issue anymore. If somebody applies who's a transgender transvestite for a position of a marriage counselor, we can't consider that relevant. And if a person files a complaint and it's shown that the fact that the person was a transgender transvestite, we just didn't think that that was appropriate to help in marriage counseling, when we had lots of other decent applicants, we could be held liable because of this executive order to losing all those contracts and perhaps to other civil damages. This is what's on the way. And then, of course, you've got what affects every citizen. You've got the baker out in Colorado who has made plenty of birthday cakes for gay individuals to celebrate this human being, this beloved Son of God's birthday, but didn't want to make a marriage cake with two men on it because it goes against his Christian principles. And he was sued and he lost. Or the Methodist church that had a banquet hall down on one of the beaches in New Jersey, who didn't want to rent it out for a gay marriage, and they were sued and they lost. We've got lots of these things in which we want to serve others, but the ability to serve others following our conscience is now being restricted. And the position of certain aggressive secularists in federal and state legislatures and governments is that we would rather stop you from doing all of this good if we can't force you to go along with our immoral agenda that you find objectionable in conscience. Unless you can tailor your conscience to what we say rather than God says, get out. We don't need you. We'd rather have these other people suffer than for you possibly to keep your conscientious service. That's why we're here tonight. Because our freedom to serve others while still obeying God is under threat. I'd like to speak to some of the larger issues involved. Last Friday, the day before the fortnight commenced, Pope Francis gave an address in the Vatican on the importance of religious freedom. There was a global scope to his remarks, but his five main points about the very intense debate about religious liberty are highly relevant to what American Catholics are trying to illumine during these 2 weeks. Just like briefly to consider those five points given to us by Pope Francis. He first indicated that the right to religious freedom is essential to ensure our transcendent nature. I'll explain that point. He said, reason recognized in religious liberty a fundamental right of man that reflects his lofty dignity, that of being able to seek the truth and adhere to it. And it recognizes in it an indispensable condition to be able to display all his potential. Pope Francis is saying that if the human person is not permitted to act in accordance with a well-formed conscience, then his growth will be stunted, and he'll never really be free. The capacity to follow our conscience is the capacity for us to really reach our full potential in response to God. And once governments try to restrict our following our conscience, our seeking out God's voice and our obeying Him, it's actually stopping the most important part of our growth. Pope Francis wants to make us aware of that, that when we lose sight of God, we lose sight of man. And what can happen when we lose sight of God are the atrocities that happen in atheistic communist countries. Second, religious freedom, Pope Francis said, isn't merely the ability to go to church or to pray at home, but it's the capacity to live according to our faith. Religious liberty, he said, is not only that of thought or private worship. It's the freedom to live according to ethical principles consequent upon the truth found, be it privately or publicly. This point used to be obvious to everybody. That to have religious freedom means you've got to be able to live by your faith. People can't force you to do something contrary to your religious belief. But the Obama administration has made a coordinated effort in both foreign and domestic policy to reduce freedom of religion to what they call freedom of worship. The reason for this reduction, as then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton said in a 2009 speech, is to promote the right for people to love in the way they choose. In other words, to smooth the path for those of the same sex to marry each other, the U.S. government wants to restrict the rights of believers not to live according to the values of their revealed religions. Why? Because every single revealed religion condemns same-sex marriage. And so either you're going to have full rights for those of the same sex to marry, or you're going to have religious liberty. But the Obama administration believes you can't have both. And so we're going to reduce religious liberty to just, you can choose the hymns you want to sing on Sunday, you can go to Mass, or you can go to the synagogue, or you can go to the mosque. But don't try to live your faith out in the public square if it goes against what they think should be the civic virtues. Pope Francis is reminding us that religious freedom includes the liberty to live publicly according to the faith's moral principles, something that is being denied not just in fundamentalist Muslim regions or communist countries today, but in aggressively secular ones like our own. The Obama administration sued 2 years ago against a Lutheran church in Michigan that wanted to make sure that those who taught in their evangelical elementary school all lived by the faith. The Obama administration sued. The case was called Obama versus Hosanna Tabor. And the Obama administration tried to say, the only person who needs to be religious in that school is the one who explicitly teaches religion. Principal doesn't. None of the other teachers, the math teacher or anything else, janitor, if you're trying to say that they've got to live by the principles the Lutheran faith teaches, we're totally opposed to that. Supreme Court decided against him 9-0. Even the most liberal justices appointed recognized that that was totally contrary to the First Amendment, that religious institutions have a right to be able to teach their faith, and recognize that everyone in a Catholic school teaches, whether they're explicitly articulating the faith or whether they're doing it by their body language. Third, religious freedom is being undermined, Pope Francis says, precisely by many trumpeting tolerance and freedom. Religious liberty, indicated, is a great challenge in the globalized world where weak thought, it's a European phrase, pensiero debole in Italian, literally weak thought, but it's, I'll define it in a second, where weak thought also lowers the general ethical level, and in the name of a false concept of tolerance, ends up persecuting those who defend the truth about man and the ethical consequences. Weak thought was founded by an Italian homosexual who thought that there's no meaning at all to human existence. He was a nihilist. He was an intellectual and moral relativist, that there are no truths that you can know with certainty by your mind, or no certain moral truths. Everything's relative, of course, except that principle. It's self-contradictory absurdity. And so he was pushing for tolerance of what was formerly morally censured. But then what do we see? We see the same thing here in the United States. Back a decade ago, when there was the real attempt to push same-sex marriage on our Commonwealth, what did we hear? How's my gay marriage ever possibly going to affect you? That's what we heard. The sky isn't falling. There's no damage that's going to occur. And then 2 years later, there's a father in Lexington whose son comes home after kindergarten, having done the assignment, Heather has two mommies. And the dad calls up to try to find out from the public school, why wasn't I informed as a parent that you're doing sex education for my kindergartner? And then it's a homosexual indoctrination program. No answer. He eventually went to the school to try to find an answer, and he was arrested. Bakers, those with halls to rent, they're all figuring out how somebody else's same-sex marriage is going to impact them, because what first started out as tolerance now has become a total intolerance for anyone who wants to get in the way of this total reorg. Likewise with abortion. It was first, all we want is the freedom to choose. Freedom to choose. But now, they're trying to force everybody else to pay for it. They're trying to force nurses in training, if they're going to get their certification, that they have to participate in an abortion rotation. Doctors, if they're going to medical school, that they have to sit in while abortions are being done. Just in England, 2 weeks ago, the Royal Academy of Obstetrics and Gynecology said that even if a nurse has fulfilled all the requirements, even if she is the valedictorian of her nursing school, she will not get certification from us as the professional organization unless she is going to participate in abortions and not have any moral qualms whatsoever about contraception. Again, starts out as tolerance. All we want is the ability to do this, and then it comes to forcing everybody to behave according to those preferences. Pope Francis is calling us to pay attention to that. Fourth, without religious freedom, Pope Francis says, a democracy is sick and undermines its own legitimacy. Political and judicial bodies, he insisted, are called to recognize, guarantee, and protect religious liberty, which is intrinsically inherent right to human nature. It is also an indicator of a healthy democracy, and one of the principal sources of the legitimacy of the state. In the Bill of Rights, of course, the United States recognized, guaranteed, and protected religious liberty. It's the first right protected. Recent offenses against the first and fundamental freedom show that our democratic republic is not strengthening, but in fact sickening. It's getting weaker. If we love our country, we need to help her heal. Fifth, Pope Francis says, attacks against religious freedom of Christians are not only the most common today, but the most often ignored. The Pope lamented, It's for me a reason for great sorrow to see that Christians in the world endure the greatest number of such discrimination. The persecution against Christians today is in fact stronger than in the first centuries of the Church, and there were more Christian martyrs than at that time. More Christians have been martyred in the last 100 years than in all the previous 19 centuries combined. The type of deadly persecutions he's describing are happening mainly in Muslim, fundamentalist Muslim regions, but they flow from the same fundamental denial of the right to religious freedom that is spreading like cancer in supposedly free secularist nations, where the last acceptable prejudice among elites is Christianophobia, which is enabling this persecution. Christianophobia is the irrational fear of Christians. It's a particular hatred against Christians, which is now far more virulent than homophobia is today in many places of the world. It's far more virulent than racism. It's far more virulent than misogyny. But it's not being talked about. If the types of school and church bombings, kidnappings, and massacres happening almost every day to Christians in various parts of the world were happening to Jews, to gays, or to women, there would justifiably be a media and international political obsession about it. The fact that they happen every day unabated, with most ignoring them, ought to be, Pope Francis says, as totally incomprehensible, worrying, and unacceptable. This fortnight for freedom is a time for all Catholics in the United States to ponder these realities, the reality that without religious freedom, our transcendental human nature is not going to be upheld and our growth will be stunted. That religious freedom means the ability to live by our faith, not just pray privately. The religious freedom is being undermined precisely by those who formally seem to promote freedom and tolerance. That we have to recognize and call out that hypocrisy. That without religious freedom, a democratic republic is sick and it's undermining its own legitimacy, because there's no real rights that go beyond the rights accorded by the state. If there are no inalienable rights endowed by our Creator, then no rights are permanent and they can be taken away by the same governments that gave them. And finally, that attacks on religious freedom of Christians are widespread, and we need to help the whole world wake up to them. Because if we don't, they're soon going to be happening more and more to us. It's a time for us, this fortnight for freedom, to ponder these realities, to pray and to get involved, to help nourish our nation back to the health that Pope Francis indicates is necessary. Tonight, we help our country with our prayer before the Divine Physician.